Hello and welcome to Book Trap You're On. I'm Bronwyn.
I'm Tracy.
I'm John.
I'm Sarah.
And today we're talking about non-fiction trends.
Well, the last, 18 months has been blown away with the success of The Barefoot Investor.
Since November 2016.
I still remember the weekend when it happened.
And it's still, last week, it was the number one seller in Australia. Again, I think it's up to around the over 800,000 copy mark, which is just insane. It's been at the top of the charts for most of the past 18 months.
It's its own trend. And no one can keep it.
There are other good books about managing your finances, but I don't know if, I don't know if anything's on that level.
I don't think there has been another book like this apart from the Harry Potters, potentially. And I don't think they even reach this sort of
consistent high selling, just sitting
at number one for that long.
How do you keep finding new people to buy it?
I guess everyone's concerned about their money,
or everyone's buying it to give to people. That's what I think.
Yeah,
they buy it, they enjoy it, and so they buy it to give to people.
And there's all these things marketing, like every New Year's will hit, people go, oh, take charge of my finances, and then the financial year hits, and then just keeps getting renewed and renewed. So there's all these reasons, because we spend so much money, everybody does.
Yeah,
and it's something everyone worries about.
Exactly. Even if you don't say it, you worry about it.
Well, booksellers always have theories about stuff, and most booksellers are just jaws are dropped and they don't understand it. They don't understand how something could be continually selling this much for so long. Every single theory has just been blown up and it's gone wrong. We're theoryless.
Every time I think we see a slowdown of these books, I end up having to order more and more and more because, it was still our bestseller over the weekend.
Well, my theory is Scott Peep is magical.
But he's like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
He made some deal with
the book gods or something. Yeah.
He announced that a few weekends ago that there's a new book coming. So, for children, I think.
I think primary school children is a rumor.
Start early, that kind of thing. Yeah.
And for someone to be on to their next book and for their previous book to still be selling this strongly is pretty sensational.
And his current book is about to be updated come the end of this financial year.
Oh, when he updated for 2017, that was an insane time of great book selling. So let's hope for that again.
But the funny thing is that in that whole time, there's been some people sitting in that top bestsellers list with him, like The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, just sat there and it just continues to sell. We haven't seen this for years. I mean, Rebel Girls, another one.
Yeah, it's been huge.
Just been selling. We haven't had this many.
The trends are bigger and they last longer.
Yeah, I mean, these ones have just cruised along.
Mm. And the non-fiction titles that are staying in the top of the charts for such long periods of time, like Sapiens and Homo Deus, there's a follow-up to that. And he's got another book coming this year as well, but that book has consistently sold, particularly Sapiens. It's what, 3-4 years old now?
Yeah, trade non-fiction is what is really holding up the market and leading the market. It just seems to be everyone wants to be reading non-fiction.
And I love that in other, industries, it's like the newest best thing and then everyone drops it for the next newest best thing. But in books, we've got these long, enduring love affairs going on.
We've always known it with non-fiction. There are titles that have been selling steadily for 100 years or so, some of these titles. How to Get Friends and Influence
How to
People. How to Win Friends and Influence People. It'd been in the 1930s, wasn't it, when it was first?
Is that how old that was?
Yeah. Who Moved My Cheese, a business classic.
Yeah, that always sells.
So many business books I can think of that The Intelligent Investor, that's been around for forever.
Yeah, those ones just stick, and they corner the category killers. What they really describe it. But they just own it. They own that category. They set it up, and they just went, that's it. I'm the last word in that particular. And we saw it. We're seeing it with your mate, with Amazing Face and Amazing a Face.
My mate.
Yeah.
My favorite person to follow on Instagram, who I've emailed once or twice in my life.
Yeah, good. That translates to good friend Zoe Foster.
Of course it does.
Zoe Foster Blake. So, but yeah, I mean that book came out and it just went. There's nothing else like it. And some books have come in this area, the sort of makeup area, and
she's become the book.
And
yeah.
She became the book. Up the Duff, the book. You know, Baby Love, the book. You know, there's all these different ones that come out.
The trend starters.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Up the Duff, I mean, when you look at all of the ones that Cass Cook has done, especially around family health, pregnancy, they just stayed there.
Yeah.
Just, and they haven't moved. Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, even like with the death of.
Richard.
It worked. Stephen Hawking.
That guy.
Music worked.
With the death of scientist.
I mean, his book has done the sales of Search for that since his death, but that has sold fairly consistently since publication date.
I read once that was the highest selling.
Non-read
book ever.
I read that same thing.
I sat on a beach thinking, I'm just going to knock through this little tiny book, and got about four pages in and then fell asleep and went, holy crap, what is this? I was 14 at the time, but you know, I thought,
ambitious.
Everyone else is reading this. I'll give this a go. Well, my brain broke.
Because, I mean, I love reading like science non-fiction titles. Particular, some of my favourites are like Jared Diamond, The Rise and Fall of the Third Chimpanzee, Guns, Germs and Steel.
Did you say The Rise and Fall of the Third Chimpanzee?
Yeah.
I love that title.
It's a great book. You should read it.
What is it about?
About humans and our evolution and who we are. So it's fascinating. It's similar to the Sapiens.
Okay.
They're very similar sort of premise.
Who's the I shouldn't fixate, but who's the third chimpanzee?
Humans are a species of chimpanzee.
So we're falling? I mean, obviously we are.
Go Trump.
Oh, God.
Well, we're moving away from our subject, which is trend. But
we just segued into one.
But what we're really talking about here is category killers. So the selfish gene, if you're talking science, there are so many. What's that origin? Origin of species. Yeah. There are books that come out that just define, you know, a subject or just own that particular subject and just stick there the rest of time. They just don't move. And in science, you've got a ton of them.
How many of them?
Is there a cookbook that we could say is a category?
You've got Stephanie Alexander's cookbook. You've got Cook's Companion. You've got is it Common Sense Cookery?
But then even some of the old ones are resurging, like the Australian Women's Wiki, the birthday book.
Birthday, yes, that one.
I grew up with that.
It's pretty much a magazine, but it is.
Has it sold consistently the whole way through?
Well, it was out of print for a long time, and then they reissued it.
Yeah.
And it's just, that went gangbusters, and it still sells.
It's all the nostalgia. When I had the second-hand bookshop, people would come in asking for that particular one. They were just hunting it down.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, cookbooks definitely have it. And you've got, even back the original Jamie Oliver books and Nigella Lawson books, they're just still on the shelves. If you have a bookshop, you have to have those books. It's got to be there.
Maggie Beer, you have to have her books. I think of some other ones that have stuck around for a
something
long time.
Something
like Julia Childs?
Those books get reprinted and reprinted and reprinted.
Yeah. A lot of the River Cottage, the very early ones, are still, they sell and sell and sell.
Because it feels like you have the initial cookbook that makes someone huge, and then after that they have to follow all the trends go in cooking. But I mean, their original ones remains popular.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're lucky, I mean, that's the thing. If you do something completely different and change the way things are done, that's generally what makes a category killer, isn't it? It's sort of like you're redefining something. Then everyone else just copies you. And you become like a little genre within your area, but you're the first one to have done it.
Yeah. Because there's so many. I was looking at cookbooks before this podcast, and just based on what we've been selling lately, the new little micro trend in cooking, like that might turn out to be the next big low carb or whatever, is the hormone, like diets for your hormones. Which is just like, how many angles can we find on on ways to eat healthily?
Around like a while ago, I think it was about 10 years ago, we had all of the hormone-y kind of diets as well. So it's not actually a new trend. I think it's just come back around.
And it's doing really well. Like, we've got the Healthy Hormones by Belinda Kirkpatrick. We've got the Healthy Hormone Diet by Michelle Chevalier-Hedge. We've got the Wholesome Cook Recipes for Life Seasons by Martina Angel, I think, Angel. She does one, which I find cool, which has all of the recipes are done, and then there's tweaks that you can make depending on what age or sex you are, because you have different hormone requirements. How cool is that?
That's very considerate.
But yeah, a while back, you would only find low carb ones or paleo ones. Cooking, man. I think it's trendier than any other area, possibly.
Oh, it so is. And you get gorgeous cookbooks as well, so they're not only, you know, a trend there. It's just
they're
a
gorgeous.
Gift.
Yeah.
They're beautiful. They're a coffee table book. They use in the kitchen.
Like every Ottolenghi book.
Every what book?
Every Ottolenghi is gorgeous.
Yeah, divine. Divine. And then the food's not bad.
Also, the food is
good. That helps. That really helps.
What other areas are there right now? I mean, we were discussing earlier that all the, we mentioned Salat and Not Giving a Fuck, and just
the
enormous number
of
books with
swear
words in it. That has to be the
like Shannon's
brand.
Kitchen.
Yeah. Cooking and swearing.
Yeah, the Zero Fucks cookbook, the Evie Stein fund.
Yeah, it seems like whatever topic you want to write on,
if you
go out
the
with swear
word
words,
in the title.
Yeah, or even if you don't, like Shannon's Kitchen by Shannon Kelly White, and I really hope that was correct.
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Because I love her. and she's come out with a cookbook that's just called Shannon's Kitchen, and there's nothing yelling at you about...
Oh, there is a subtitle with the word.
Okay, so it's in the subtitle.
It's in the subtitle.
Zero.
But it's not in the main title. No. When you open it, it's just this glorious, like...
It's vulgar rant.
Yeah, like the language.
The most interesting ingredients you'll ever find in a cookbook.
It's so good. And it's not even the intro that explains about the recipe that's hilarious and will have, you know, people blushing. But also the ingredients list. Like, just pick up that book, flip to any recipe, and you'll be in stitches before you get to the end of it. But it's all part of this same thing, which is like pick a topic and then write like a rude book about it.
It's very good.
Yeah. But it's that interesting contrast between, like, if you look at the trends with Instagram and making everything look perfect, and a lot of the Chica Home and the interior design books that are around that, striving for perfection. And then
this
you have
the
opposite end of that. That's
like unfuck your finances is the opposite of barefoot investor. Is that
fuck feelings?
Real books, people. Real books.
And I remember when Go the Fuck to Sleep came out, and there was a video of Noni Hale reading it at like his play school. Absolute.
Or Serena, the F word comes in. And you're
yeah,
like,
just
what?
Absolutely brilliant.
I think I remember watching a video of Samuel L. Jackson
reading.
Yeah,
he did it too. Yeah, he did it too. But yeah, that's what 5-6 years ago now, or even more, and then it slowly just sort of created. And the great thing about it for booksellers. The swearing levels have just gone up because all you have to do is any sentences end with the word cookbook, and it sounds like you're actually talking a title rather than just swearing unnecessarily. You know, just go to sleep at the end of a sentence, and suddenly everyone thinks you're talking about a book. It's relevant swearing.
Yeah, it's really helped us.
Yeah.
In our day to day lives.
It's so hard
to swear more at work.
Yeah. It's a nice outlet, you know.
But it seems to be a guaranteed way to sell books now is to have, if not the word fuck, then F asterisk 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 K on the top on the title of your book.
Yeah, I think Peter Fitzsimons needs to get onto it. His histories are sounding a little bit dull when you consider Ned fucking Kelly would have been much better than Birkin fucking Wills. Bloody Monash. You know,
Bloody Monash. That would have been a good one. Yes.
I would read that.
Fitzy, get on it.
When he's next in here, we'll give him some lessons.
We will.
Yeah. Be like, great,
we'll give him some title suggestions.
But have you considered putting some more rude words in the titles of your books?
What's he coming up with? I can't remember what he said. He's got one coming for October. I can't remember what it was. It was on.
That's not the Monash one, is it?
No, Monash is coming just out soon. We have time for it. I don't think they've got the cover yet, so. There's still time for him to,
there's
yeah.
time to change it, everyone.
Yeah.
Stay on trend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got the red bandana. He's got to do something else now.
He could do, if he did another weight loss, book and threw in a couple of swear words here and there.
Yeah, well, he called me fatty at the end of that podcast.
Well, he did. What if he was really just confrontational in his new cookbook? Calling people fatty and all that.
I don't think so. I don't think fat shaming is the way to go.
You'd be better off doing a very sharp expose of Australian history and, the real stuff, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
The nitty-gritty.
Yeah, we were known as a country of swearers, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. We were, yeah. Back in the old days.
Because the trend didn't really start in this country, but we have certainly embraced it.
Well, I remember reading Eric Newby, and Eric Newby was up in the Appalachian... not Appalachian, my God, not. Up in the mountains of Italy and working within the field, and the Italian guy was swearing, and he had a swear word for every situation. And Eric Newby, before the war, had worked in Australia, and he said he just had the one swear word repeated a million times, just over and over again. He thought, how delightful to be in Italy with a swear word for every single circumstance he could possibly come up with. They're inventive as...
I think the trend is peculiarly Australian.
It
seems to have taken off in Australia more so than it has.
Maybe it's just underneath the surface. Maybe it's underneath the surface.
It's more
yeah.
further down the list, but you just don't see it anywhere near as much overseas, particularly like working in the US. And if there were swear words on the book, it would not get put in
even
the
now.
Even
yeah,
now,
even
yeah,
now.
Wow,
yeah,
we're so progressive in some ways. And in others, not.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Are we leading the way down? Is that what we are?
The nation of potty mouths or something,
It's amazing we can read.
We are all descended from thieves. Right?
And criminals, and murderers. God.
Are there any other non-fiction trends we haven't talked about? There probably
are.
Well,
we brushed up on
Rebel Gods. We've lost
our way. We mentioned Rebel Gods, but we didn't really delve into it.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge trend.
Oh, they're a massive trend.
There's a massive trend in non-fiction for kids at the moment. There's some beautiful, beautiful books. That there's one that I was looking at this week that tells the story of the Eastern Barred Bandicoot. Beautiful illustrations telling kids about the conservation efforts. It's just, there's more and more of that coming and more true stories.
All the STEM stuff as well coming through.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at the kids' stuff, when you look at what's selling big numbers, it's really good to see. I mean, we were just talking about the decline of Australian culture because of all the swear words, but the next generation down who are coming in now is really so well informed.
Everything depends on you guys. We've messed up the world. We need the next generation to come and try and fix it. Please.
Help us.
I implore you. Like, I know that this podcast is about... trends in non-fiction, but just to mess up with that, I don't want to call it a trend, I want to call it a movement or like a great decision for the push for more diversity in fiction, is so great to see. And I know that that's not what this particular podcast is about, but I just wanted to throw it in there.
Later podcast.
As further proof that we're hopefully not all going to hell.
I mean, read Stephen Pinker's new book, Enlightenment Now, he basically argues that nothing is as bad as we think it is, and that we're actually all happier, healthier, wealthier.
Do you think that that's what they are saying in Rome as a band? I think things are pretty bad.
No, it's not. Really.
I think it's more your perception of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what the situation
is. Spend 2 days in... Medici Florence, and you'd come back going, I think I like it here better.
Oh, it's true that there are plenty of places in the world where things are. But I'm talking about the world in general.
These guys,
not Australia.
The Medici's were the richest people in the world for a while there, and they used to get robbed in between Florence and their country house. I mean, this is...
Yeah, but they probably didn't even
good.
Notice it. They were like, oh, well.
They were redistributing the wealth.
They weren't sharing wealth. That's the problem.
That's why they were getting robbed.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Well, and so the big thing is... They're
horrible as well from their reputation, so...
I love where we've
Stephen,
gone with
the,
this one.
The Stephen
Pinker,
family. The Stephen Pinker one is definitely worth a read. The other, Better Nations, Angels of Our Natures, is another brilliant book, and his Blank Slate is absolutely brilliant. It just makes you stop and think and listen to the actual data. what is going on, and not just all the crap that's coming from the media, and just
you've got to filter out the noise.
Yeah,
to be able to see what's real and what's not, and that's probably the hardest thing at the moment for most people to do.
Is Donald Trump really the president?
Unfortunately, yes.
Then we're not in a great shape.
I think it must be an amazing society to be able to cope with someone like that at the top and not fall apart.
Yeah, that's a nice positive spin on things.
Hope is the
we're surviving. The world hasn't imploded yet.
Yet, the opposite of Donald Trump has been the students from the Florida
and that is
shooting.
So true.
And
like
the rallies
amazing.
And what they've been talking about. The young people, 11-year-olds, talking about how we need to change and grow. I think there is hope.
Which
and
brings us back to that it all rests on the younger generations. They're going to fix the world.
So the books for them are super important.
And there's also the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
And that's also, segue. It's brought in a whole lot of new books.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
There's been a whole rush of books around Me Too and around the feminist issues, and it won't stop. I think this is just the beginning.
And
just
around
continue.
Race and Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really changed. And you were talking about it before with fiction starting to take it in with and memoir, a lot of memoir coming out, arguing forcibly for change.
Yeah. You do. I tend to be negative, and thank you guys for pointing out some good points. But one thing you do want to hope for is that the worst things get the more people band together and like show that humanity has some good points.
Yeah, I don't think anyone wants us to slide backwards. I think there's always people who rise up and start holding us and trying to move us back.
Yeah,
it was like that. Sarah shared an article with me today.
Oh my God, this was beautiful.
Some kids in the US that painted a black church with
swastikas
and racial slurs and that. And the judge, instead of giving them community service, made them read some books. So,
which I think is amazing, but in that article it did point out that some people in the community very kind of rightly sort of stood up and said, I don't agree with making reading a punishment.
No.
Which is true, but also the results of this, like, quote-unquote punishment were that these kids read a bunch of amazing books that they would otherwise not have read, and one of them wrote for an article about what he learned from it, and I was nearly crying this morning reading it. So the world can be good.
Through books.
even on a Monday.
Understanding another person's point of view. You know, like Anita Heitz with her new one about growing up in Aboriginal in Australia.
Yeah.
Things like that are important.
Yeah.
We need to read them.
And books will save the world.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we should break into a chorus of Heal the World.
Heal the world with books.
I don't need much encouragement, so we better wrap up before I start singing.
Yes, we'll save the podcast listeners from hearing that, because I don't think it'll go down very well.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, everyone, and we'll catch you next Wednesday at 11 a.m.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.